Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Today, we're going to go right straight to Nepal. Our hearts are breaking. Two earthquakes right in a row. Thank God for Samaritan Purse and Operation Blessings. Take a look right now.
It was Saturday.
But the building was shaking so much, it looks like the earth is going to divide into two parts.
Houses are falling, people are scared, shouting.
Jumping out of their house.
The children were crying.
It just seems like the world is going to end right now.
When the earthquake stopped, then I came out. At the same time, my mother was coming. She was so worried, so she was rushing towards the home. And I met her on the road. She was crying that what happened to my son.
On April the 25th, there was a 7.8 earthquake that hit this area. The death toll is over 7,000 and more than 14,000 are injured. But there are hundreds of thousands of people throughout this region that are suffering as a result of the earthquake.
This used to be a road, and because of the earthquake, the road has been closed down. Some people who ran away from here, the another houses fell down, and the two people killed over this same spot. And the four people killed in this spot. The people who are staying in another part, and they are trying to run away, and on the same time, this all fell down, and four people killed, and so many people been injured.
We have no shelter, we have no food. We lost all things, except our life.
I have to be thankful my family are unharmed. At the same time, my neighbor, they are also my family. They have also lost their lives. Yes, lots of people lost their lives. We have never experienced such kind of earthquake before. We are afraid.
Samaritan's Purse, we are working to help people in communities directly affected by these earthquakes. Time is of the essence. We're doing everything that we can to meet the emergency needs right now.
There's a lot of fear of the aftershocks and tremors that are still happening. You get a sense of just sort of the trauma and hopelessness that people are feeling right now.
We need a safe drinking water, shelter for people to live who are alive, and we need a food.
We have a team here, experts in the medical field, water and sanitation, as well as in food and in shelters, working together with local partners and contacts.
Many of these people have lost their loved ones and or they're unaccounted for, and I just can't imagine emotionally what they're going through. And just to be able to pray for them and reach out to them. I mean, these people are desperate and in need.
We've received in our first cargo plane with relief supplies for the hurting people here, 42 metric tons of blankets, tents, and cooking kits. And there will be more supplies coming in the future.
A lot of aid's coming into Nepal, but we continue to move farther and farther outside the city to find those that have not yet been reached with food or shelter or medical attention. It's a wonderful opportunity to share the love of Christ.
What we're trying to give out is some food for a family for a week, some cooking sets, and some blankets, as some of these families can live at 6,000 feet or higher, and it can get much, much colder than the hot weather we have down here in the valley.
Probably the biggest thing that's impacted me is just how willing people are to come out and help. We've got over 30 volunteers, and they've been working really hard just to help out their fellow countrymen.
Oh, Nepal is my country. I just love this country. It's very hard for me to believe that we are going through this. This is also a very difficult time for me also. I don't have any house, but I'm helping here. There are also people who are helping each other in this moment.
So I'm here with Krishna Prasad Adhikari. He's 75 years old. He's walked 3 hours this morning to get to where we're distributing food today. His home looks like this. He's got 7 children at home, and he's taking the food and the supplies that we've been able to give back to them. What he's saying is that we're in survival mode. What we need is shelter, and thank you very much for doing what you can do.
Here are nearly 1,200 people staying in this camp. We are thinking that they will stay here more than 6 months up to 1 year.
13 people are living here in this tent. And we are living as a family member. We are living together. This is the condition. The circumstances is not so good.
Sanitation is one of the most important things in a situation like this. The conditions are not very good, the hygienic conditions. That's a big problem for children, and that's how diseases get spread. We've brought in a bunch of hygiene kits that include soap, brushes for the toilets, cleaning solution, gloves. Timing is super important, and that's why we've come out here as quickly as we can, so that we stop any spread of disease before it happens.
My heart does break for the people here in Nepal. I mean, there's a lot of need here. I mean, you can imagine the people have very, very little.
We pray our God. We rebuild our house for our better life, for our health.
We want to come beside them and walk through this difficult time with them.
I've had a couple of opportunities to, you know, to put my hand on the shoulder of someone who's hurting and say, you know what, Jesus has brought us here. He loves you so much. He's bringing people from far away to serve you.
As a Christian organization, we really are trying just to offer what we can, but also just to offer hope to these people.
There are a lot of urgent needs. Samaritan's Purse is here meeting those urgent needs, and we're doing that in the same vein that the Good Samaritan did when he helped the man in the ditch.
We become hopeless, but when people just like you come, then we get hope again to live.
That is so important, to be able to now at this moment in time participate. And we're going to be able to explain more details, but you can contact them and begin to give now to be able to meet this need. I think about, you know, the leader of Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham. You know, he has a testimony. You got to see his testimony or read about it in Rebel with a Cause. It explains in that book how this whole ministry called Samaritan's Purse was handed over to him. And today, God has led this thing where it's impacting the world. And in every epicenter of tragedy and trouble and terrorism and pain and lack and thirst and hunger, Samaritan Purse is there. Right this very moment, that is footage that you just saw from the earthquake that just took place about 12 days ago. But look what just happened. I want you to see this footage because 12 days later, an earthquake hit again. Watch them as they're in parliament and it begins to shake. We've got to pray for the people of Nepal. We've got to stand, and we can actually partner with Samaritan's Purse to be able to do that. Take a look at this.
This lawmaker was addressing parliament in the afternoon when the camera started to shake. Terrified lawmakers fled the auditorium. The magnitude 7.3 quake hit a remote region near the Chinese border between the capital of Kathmandu and Mount Everest. This man said this was a jolt just like the big one last month, though it was not that long. I was very scared. The government says several buildings collapsed in an isolated town that has become a hub for humanitarian aid after the first quake. A rescue team has been searching through the wreckage of the town. The death toll from the first quake over 2 weeks ago is now more than 8,100 people and still climbing. And it also injured almost 18,000. And it flattened mountain villages and destroyed buildings. At 7.8 on the Richter scale, it was Nepal's worst recorded earthquake since 1934. And there have been more than 150 aftershocks. Today's 7.3 quake was 2 miles deeper in the earth, making it not as strong. This video from Operation Blessing shows patients at one of the big hospitals in Kathmandu who had to be moved outside after today's quake. Operation Blessing has been on the scene since the first earthquake, providing safe water and food aid, often in remote, unreached villages. Its safe water team is operating chlorine generators to disinfect up to 800,000 gallons of water a day, and then delivering it to survivors. Dale Hurd, CBN News.
After this break, we're going to talk more about this, but we have to really focus. This is the earth is shaking under the lives of the Nepalian people.
This is a tragedy taking place, and they're happening all over the world.
Yes.
You just had the Amtrak disaster in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
and coming
from Philly to New York.
Yeah, from Philly to New York, and you're hearing the people, you know, talk about it, and they're saying specifically that it was just normal and it just kind of turned over. Mm. But it's like one tragedy after another tragedy after another tragedy. And I want to encourage you to understand that our God is in control, and to take your time and go to VFNTV.com and go to the VFN Torch. And you have several different menus there. One of them is prophecy. The John Paul Jackson prophesied very specifically that each of these parts of creation are going to begin to groan and increase with intensity, as if the birthing pains. And, you know, long story short, it's minimum force necessary till we cry out to God.
And
there are so many things taking place. And if you focus on the things instead of what the things are supposed to cause us to focus on, which is God, Jesus says, you know, look up at these times because your redemption draws near.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not requiring us, and we could bring you 10,000 things. There's so many things going on every day, and we're here with you every day on VFN TV and 24 hours a day on the radio. That's not the point. The point's not to know everything. The point is to know him who does know everything and be in right relationship with him. And right now what we have, you know, with Samaritan's Purse and Operation Blessings and others, according to Israel, I think Israel, we actually had on Israel,
they
were the first ones to show up at the first earthquake, and you saw that on VFN TV, where they're immediately preparing, you know, doctors and nurses and portable hospitals. And
Israeli Defense Forces that started that.
Yes, and it's just an amazing thing. It's great to see, you know, Samaritan Purse. It's sad to see what we, you know, heard on yesterday's program, I believe it was, with you know, testifying before Congress, the pastor from California, Bridlewood or Saddleback.
Oh, Rick Warren.
Rick Warren, you know, what he was talking about, that for some reason the American government is scared of working with the church.
Yeah.
But thank God that, you know, Franklin Graham, and if you haven't read his book, sometimes it helps you to understand how God brings things to pass, because Franklin could have said no when Samaritan's Purse was offered to him years ago. And if Franklin said yes, and if his dad, Billy Graham, said yes, what happens if you say yes? I mean, I would say, you know, get involved. I mean, if you can go there, go there. I mean, if you can't, people are going there. Just go to, as you see on the lower part of your screen right here, you know, SamaritanPurse.org. Go there. Partnering with VFN TV helps actually make it pass, come to pass, because we partner with them.
Absolutely. As I was watching, I couldn't help to notice what one of the gentlemen was saying as he's being interviewed, that many people have lost their families, but there's something about devastation and crisis that causes people to say, these were once my neighbors, but now they're family. And you begin to have a compassion for one another. It's just, listen, we just have to survive this thing. Let's take care of everyone around us. And that's so important, because right now it's Nepal that's shaking, but you never know when it could be your street, your neighborhood, your city. And to be able to have that type of compassion for other people is going to be very important in the days ahead, to recognize that it's not just them, it's us together. And we need to look to God together for this to make it through.
And I was thinking about, you know, when you think about an organizational chart, you know, normally the further a man gets away from God, the more structure he's in.
Hmm.
Because then you start relying on the structure.
Yeah.
When you think about just a particular corporation, you know, corporation has, you know, has a CEO, and it has, you know, VPs. If they really want to make you really like,
yeah, CFO, COO.
You know, I thought VP was something, vice president in this corporation, until I found out there's 20 of you.
Yeah.
You know, they just weren't going to give you a CEO. I am proud. I am proud. But I thought, oh, I see. You got the corner office. And anyway, so then you have like managers, and then you have, you know, supervisors, and then you have, you know, me in the mailroom, you know, right? And so you think about, it's like, wow, all this structure, and so many people feel, you know, insignificant if they're not at the top, if they don't know somebody at the top, if they're not invited into that part of the lunchroom and the corporate offices, you know, and if you're still bringing your lunch in a paper bag versus theirs is coming with a white napkin or something of that nature, a material napkin. And so, but even though there's structure here on earth, this is so empowering. even though there's structure here on earth, just like that, and God establishes that, Romans 13, 1 through 5, that even though that exists, God doesn't see you in that structure. Mm. He sees you as an individual. And, you know, if you're talking organizational charts, he has a pancake flat chart. In other words, even though there's structure that we have to have as men and women in how things function, there's order to it, we answer to God personally for how we respond to that. I mean, we're going to answer to God all alone by ourselves, for even if we're in the mailroom, how well did we do the mail? I mean, if God entrusted us with $18,200 a year, what did we do with his tithes and offerings out of that? What did we do with that finance? If he gave us $180,000 a year, what did, he says specifically that there's going to be three folks, an example of it. One's going to get one talent, one's going to get two talents, one's going to get five talents. He did not compare them with each other. He measured them by what they had and what was entrusted to them. You know, it's not your boss's fault. It's not other people's fault. But it's also not their benefit when you do what's right.
That's right.
And so right now, when you're seeing these tragedies in the earth and you're seeing things take place in society, don't think about what Franklin's doing. Help Franklin. Help Samaritan's Purse. Yeah. Don't think about, what the church up the street or, you know, you got to ask yourself. Since God's going to hold you personally accountable, what are you doing? Mm. What are you doing? And then when you do something, when nobody else does something, you can know, I did something.
Yeah,
I mean, it's very empowering, even though maybe you think, you know, what difference can my two copper coins make? Well, we still talk about those two copper coins today because Jesus stood by the offering plate when a widow gave everything that she had. And these other religious folks gave, you know, big sums of money. But Jesus is talking about the woman. She gave percentage-wise more. She gave everything that she had. So when you give out of your poverty, you give out of your lack, I mean, you're conceding on even, and he's not going to measure you with other people, but he's going to see that's a great thing.
Yeah,
that's a great thing. And so, you know, this thing can be so overwhelming with the things taking place in society, and they're only going to increase. I mean, if it's courting, you know, like Ann Graham we were talking about yesterday, you know, that, you know, these could be the last days.
Yeah, this reminds me of what the book Thomas Friedman wrote, The World is Flat.
Yes.
And it's very flat these days. And
it is so flat.
As you're saying that, right, you know, think about the businessman we had a chance to meet with yesterday and the encouraging reports we heard about his brother.
Oh, my goodness. So
he just said, I'm going to go to India.
Yes.
A young person said, I just want to go. I want to help out. And we're seeing more and more people today that have a desire to say, you know what, I'm no longer going to look at an organization on TV that's doing it.
Right.
But how can I personally be engaged?
You know, one thing he said, too, he said, you know, he's going to the slums and areas of poverty. They went to more poverty in the last particular country he went to. And then I talked to him. I said, how does America look in the context of that? Because if you're in America and you have your health, you're in the top 2% of the world. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
And how do you think God's going to hold us accountable to that? And his countenance went down and his eyes went down and he realized, wow, yeah, that's something. But we can do something about it, you know?
One in six people in India right now live in the slums. 65 million people in that population. And by
20, one in six is a lot when you talk about India, you know, versus what we have, 330 million. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they project by 2017, it's going to be 107 million people. That's a third of our nation living in slums.
Wow. And these are not like American slums because, you know, we have, it's, you know, it's just our poorest person in America. Yeah. Think about this. The poorest, not the middle class, not the wealthiest, you know, 2%, but our poorest person, if you find our poorest person in America, statistics say that they're richer than 70% of the world's population, John.
Wow.
So it's not about I need more to do more. I need to be faithful what God's given me. And this is our time. This is our moment where we can say, I see tragedy. I'm going to do something. If I got to make a sandwich and give it to somebody, you know, if I got to work one extra hour a week that I can actually, you know, partner with VFN TV, or I could send money to Samaritan's Purse. I mean, just do something. At least you do nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's a flat chart. I mean, we stand alone, which is, to me, it's empowering because you can have arrogant leaders. You can have people who think that they're, you know, everything is theirs in regards to credit and all that kind of stuff. But God goes, you know what? You know, I see Saul, you know, you're not the person. David's the person. You don't even know where he exists, but he's out tending a few sheep. And I'm going to find him. No, not his brothers. I'm going to find him. He's faithful over what I've given him. His heart is after me. And God promotes David. He goes into the wilderness to find David and his few and promotes them. That's the God that we serve. And so, and not that we're looking for promotion in this, but just it just counts. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we have no excuse. We live in a blessed nation,
right?
Best innovation, wealth, all these opportunities in education. We're going to be held to a high standard if we don't get involved.
It's going to be high standard. It's going to be pretty high. And I feel like we're in a race just trying to get to normal now.
Yes.
Because for so long, we lived in this bubble, this unrealistic bubble. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.